Hey everyone, welcome back to the Inside Podcast. Today we're excited to have Hila with us on the show. Hila is a content expert specializing in B2B e-commerce. Hila, before we dive into today's conversation, maybe you could give our viewers a brief introduction of who you are, how long you've been in the space for, and yeah, let's kick things off. Yeah.
So I run a B2B content marketing agency called Shelf. We're a small team, but a mighty team. Most of our clients are in B2B tech, supply chain, e-commerce, but behind the sexy side of e-commerce, we write for the clients that are actually running the supply chain world, logistics, inventory, all of that. So we write for the exciting side of B2B, but not the e-commerce that B2C knows. And I've been in B2B marketing for 16 years. Sure. So it's the love. It's my passion. It's my love. I started off as a journalist and ended up becoming an expert in long-form content writing and sales writing. Yeah, that's me.
It's so coincidental. What made you start in B2B in the same year that Seth was born?
So I was at a large multinational company working in a job. You know, like I was like a client service executive. But I was among a sea of accountants. So I was the only one who was able to actually write, you know, as a journalist. So it just sort of happened that way. I ended up writing all of our sales brochures. I ended up writing all of the marketing material until eventually I went to the CEO of the group and I said, it's time to start a marketing department and it's going to be me. So that's what happens. So then I was the marketing director for the company for a while before I went on my own. And then when I started Shelf, a lot of the companies in the group came on as clients. And so it was a really nice way to start a business.
So I think where we thought you'd be able to drop some massive interest bombs, informational bombs, and just like, I think a lot of guidance for e-commerce guys coming from, just because you started with it, coming from like an accountancy space, a B2B space, which is, I think, typically viewed as not so interesting, not like sexy industries type of thing, maybe more informational, more long sales cycle and that type of stuff. How do you see your like content as a whole being used for e-commerce guys who are much fast paced, much more B2C, maybe less consideration, maybe not, that goes into the purchasing cycle? Where do you think your magical copy and content could add value?
I think it adds value when there's, if we're talking in terms of B2C, anyone selling something that's a high consideration product, a high consideration something, you're going to probably, your customer's going to follow the same sales cycle or the same digital buyer's journey that a B2B enterprise or B2B SaaS would follow. Because if it's a high consideration product, you probably started off with a problem or a need. You know, it's not apparel. It's not, you know, sneakers. You've got a neck ache and you've got a hunch that it's probably being caused by your desk chair or your desk or the way you're sitting at your desk. Same way that in B2B SaaS, you've got an operational problem. But you've got a hunch that it's probably because you don't have some sort of digital way of controlling operations. So you've got two completely different things happening here. Someone with neck pain and a project manager who's trying to fix an operational thing. This person's going to go and find ClickUp or Monday.com or whatever, because when they go down their buyer's journey. And this person is going to find some sort of ergonomic chair or sit-stand desk or something there. But in terms of marketing, they're going to follow the same journey. And I think that this is the gap that I often say that B2C and B2B need to look at each other and what they're doing and take things from each other. So B2C has always, and e-commerce, they always do so well with awareness, which is all that social media activity and the TikTok videos and the influencers and the, everything that's happening there. They pump so much budget into that area. And then they do a great job at bottom of the funnel. Buy this, 20% off, da-da-da-da. Like all the last mile reasons, incentives to buy something. But what B2B marketing does well in terms of content is the consideration phase. B2B marketing has to answer questions, has to help the buyer make a decision. So there's so much value in the content that they produce because they're trying to be the company that adds the most value for free to their customer before the customer signs. Because the customer generally chooses the company they receive the most value for free.
Where the trust comes from. You know, whoever is prepared to invest the time in
to help me. Yeah, I'm going to buy. Exactly. So, and that all of that is that happens in consideration. It actually doesn't happen in awareness, and it doesn't happen in decision. It happens in consideration. This is where you're supposed to be helpful. And content is the absolute key. Doesn't matter whether it's written or video or YouTube how-tos or whatever it is, but this is when you are answering questions and trying to be as useful as you can.
In
not just about product marketing here, on the peripherals. If you're a costume hire company, you should be doing content around, ideas for six-year-old birthday parties and write 100 articles for every single age group. Videos or something. Yeah.
Interesting. Just on that topic now, because I've seen a massive shift now in blog articles and content that companies are pumping out. Like almost blog articles, I'm going to put it in like two buckets, blog articles, anything that a company can produce. And now this big monster of ChatGPT and AI content that does essentially the same thing. Do you think nowadays there's still value in guys, well, obviously to bring guys in onto the website, but the majority of guys that want a detailed answer or that need a very specific answer, and I see myself doing it as well, is when I have a very specific answer, I seldomly go to Google with it. I go straight to ChatGPT. How do you suggest like guys moving forward? Do you still recommend investing in creating such detailed content for specific users? Or do you recommend trying to get seen on ChatGPT or a combo of both? What's the approach nowadays?
Yeah, so you're no longer writing for search engine optimization. Apparently, we're now writing for answer engine optimization. So any platform that provides an answer in the world, that's who you're going to write for. But the reality is that ChatGPT and Perplexity and all the other LLMs, they have to learn. They're learning from the internet, but they are just another form of answer engine. So if Google's a search engine, these are answer engines. You've got a very specific question, and you'll go there, and Google will catch up. The snippet answers, they're able, if you ask a very specific question in Google, you'll get a very specific answer.
Yeah.
So I think the key word is specific. So actually, the more specific and the more detailed your article is, the better. If you're going to want to come up in ChatGPT or Perplexity or Google, you cannot be writing just another sort of page one type article. Those, you need those, but that's not going to help you as much as it used to 10 years ago. So this is the example I've used. It doesn't help in terms of writing, and it's never been easier to create content, even if you're a small e-commerce business. This is like, it's all at your fingertips. The problem is that let's say you're, just because 150,000 hairdressers now can write an article in 30 seconds. 150,000 hairdressers are now going to write top 10 hair dryers for the season. And we're going to have 150,000 articles on the top 10 hair dryers for the season. How many variations can there be? So I think that this is why content is going to have to actually go deeper. You're going to have to do more. You're going to have to work harder to get someone who's searching for something specific, because the competition that you're up against for easy things like CBD oil for dogs, it's going to be so hard. Because now anyone can write the ultimate guide to CBD oil for dogs, choosing the right CBD oil for dogs. You could write that in 30 seconds with ChatGPT. But 150,000 other, 20,000 other CBD online businesses are writing the same article. So what's the point of that?
That's where your magic comes in. I think that's where you're describing that's actually where your moat will exist and exist at the moment. So I think what you're saying, going back to your chair example, the ergonomic chair, that no matter what business you're in, whether you're selling complex CRM or you're selling ergonomic chairs, every buyer goes through the same purchasing funnel. They go through awareness, consideration, decision. It might be that it's sped up in e-commerce, but those funnels still exist. And when it comes to e-commerce, if we look at what pretty much all e-commerce schools are doing, they're living in awareness and decision. So they're either producing video content or creating the 150 best hairdryer blog articles, which you can do through ChatGPT, but they're nothing about a consideration. They're all about awareness, which really speaks to the product and will hopefully get you to the store. But there's nothing in there which speaks about the specificity of your store to get them to want to buy from you. You know, they're kind of like, you're almost like getting them to your store. So that's awareness waxed if guys are doing that. And I think most e-commerce guys are actually not doing any of the awareness stuff. Where they're living is the bottom of the funnel, the decision phase. So if you're running Google ads or Facebook ads, you have, you know, catalog ads running, which is really product specific, where the person already knows exactly what they want, and they're now they're just deciding maybe who has the best price. But where I think that the gap is, what you're describing, is the consideration stage, where almost no e-commerce stores are doing. You know, when so now someone realizes they need a hairdryer, now they come to the site. Sites try and go for the kill too early in e-commerce, that they're now presenting with all the products, here's the pricing of all the products, and their goal is to try and get them to convert by skipping a step. And I think that's where your magic of, you know, B2B, you know, really thought out consideration content can help the stores convert guys that much easier.
So let's go back to sit stand desk, just so that we can illustrate it for the viewers. Let's say you are an online store that sells ergonomic desk tech, okay? And I saw, I'm on YouTube. That's one of my favorite. Pinterest is one of my favorite, and I love desk tech. So I see someone's desk set up, and they've got this beautiful sit-stand desk, and I'm like, ooh, that's so beautiful. I've been made aware that a sit-stand desk exists in the world, that there is a thing called a sit-stand desk. It helps you with your back. It keeps you standing and whatever, because I would have gone down the rabbit hole to go, what's a sit-stand desk? But now I also have my own internal consideration things that I need to do, the same way the CRM buyer did. My operations team is different and unique, so whatever I buy needs to fit in with that. And I, as a human, have different unique things, and is it going to do that? Now, the standing part is really cool, but if it's an adjustable desk, I'm 5'4", and the average desk height is made for people between 6'2" and 6'8", which is only 5% of the world's population. So my consideration was, does that mean that it could be adjusted lower so that I could finally have a desk that's suited for a 5'4" person that doesn't, the footrests are the worst. I hate them. So I went, my consideration stage is, okay, that's cool. Adjustable, like now I wanted to say, can adjustable desks go lower for short people. Now, it sounds niche, but listen to what I said before. Most desks are for 5% of the population. How many people are 5 foot four and lower, or lower than 6 foot? So, and no one has catered for the maybe thousands of people that would be willing to spend well over $1,000 to have a desk that doesn't necessarily rise, but is adjustable. So awareness was making you aware of the concept of sit-stand desks, and it looks sexy, great. I had my own personal considerations that are among millions of the same. This is where I want answers. And if you're a local e-commerce provider in my town or in my country, you got to get me. You know, come help me work. Come help me make my buyer's decision.
Help the shorter people in this world sit comfortably. That's what you need.
Yes.
And you're saying
yes.
No one's doing it. They're telling you, you're aware they exist, and no one's really guiding you down through that process at the moment.
Not enough. Not enough. Like, I even did a little look-see, and the US companies and US e-commerce do it really well. They're very strong. Like, we should always look at, if you're in a South African e-com company, just always go and find the equivalent of you in America and watch what they're doing in terms of content. But
is it textual content like blogs? Is it better product descriptions? What
Reddit? I see answers in Reddit.
Google's got a strong tend to push towards Reddit.
Yeah. I think
Reddit, or what? Where do you? How will they actually get?
Absolutely. If you are in e-commerce, I think that Reddit is one of the most untapped places to be. It is, it's one of the answer engines, except the best part about Reddit is that it's a community answer engine. And the people that are there are like, I don't know how to say, like, I don't want to say this in a horrible way, but are like geeks or really passionate about each of the places they're in. So that because there are subreddits, you can be rest assured that the people that are in those subreddits are really passionate about those things. So when you look for adjustable desks for short people, there's a subreddit on Reddit called Workspaces, and in it was a post by someone who said, I'm really short, here are the facts, here's some of the things I found to go and find a jet desk for short people if anyone's interested. And it created a whole conversation between people saying, like, well, I'm 6'3", and I always find that the world caters for small people. But if in my consideration stage, I would have gone, oh, perfect, another short person has just recommended 5 things. And then I go and I'm like, oh, no, they're in America.
Oh. Yeah, I got it.
You know?
Okay, so that's interesting. So, like, actionable tips. So for an e-commerce store, the two things they can do, one is they can live in Reddit. Like, look at what's being asked, join the communities and actually join the conversation and solve all these people's problems because they're actively looking. And the second thing...
I read something the other day, a really interesting story. Sorry, Mikey, just on that. I can't remember what it was, but it was a type of SaaS. It was a SaaS platform that has a subreddit. And on that subreddit, people are always going, oh, I can't get this to work. And does anyone know a workaround around this? Da, da, da. They took someone from their customer experience department, like, you know, one of these customer success managers, and they put them into that subreddit full time. And the way he injected himself into the subreddit was he said, hello, I'm Mark from the, I'm here to, like, be the representative of the, of said SaaS platform. I'm going to try and answer your questions as best as I can. Don't kill me. You know, like, but he did it in such a fresh way. And this person just stays in that subreddit, and it created so much buzz that it became a consideration value proposition in terms of customer support.
Got it. Have you had any like actually living in Reddit? So if you choose not to like take part in the conversation, but use it as a almost a content idea source for your own website to see what questions are being asked by people and just really answering those questions on your site.
Absolutely. It's full of clues to guide you on what your next article should be.
Got it.
It's the first
thing. This kind of sounds like a Twitter or X story where you could also, I mean, you could do the same thing there. I'm not sure, I mean, how deep those conversations get there, but it seems like the same approach could work.
Maybe. I don't know if people, I feel like Reddit has become a place where people go to get to help co-solve things together. Because a lot of the time, that's why you would have a subreddit. So, I'm trying to think of that. Besides, like in gaming, the subreddits are it's more casual and you talk about like your achievements or whatever. But a lot of the time there as well, people are like, I can't get out of this level and I'm not sure what to do. Reddit has definitely become a powerful answer engine. It takes muscle. You see, this is where you can't just rely on your SERP analysis. It's not just Ahrefs anymore. You've got to go. It's the muscle behind going and looking for your customers' questions. That they're asking each other.
Yeah.
And then help answer them, either there or at least on your website for the consideration stage. Or be where they're in the consideration stage, which might actually be on a Reddit.
Yeah. Is the only approach that you've seen work as successfully as that other company been to actually hire someone or to have someone living in Reddit so they answer the questions in a way that doesn't feel like a company's trying to, you know, take advantage of the subreddit? Like, obviously there's good ways and bad ways of going about doing it, but is that the best way you found, or have you, or the other practice?
No, so I think advertising in Reddit has become really popular because of the subreddits. So if you sell ergonomic chairs, and there's subreddits for workspaces or desk tech, you can advertise to those subreddits. If you sell gaming chairs, the subreddit for Stardew Valley has like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people in it.
Dependent. Like, you know, it might not be the perfect thing.
Community dependent.
Your community.
Or interest dependent, but it's got clues for you. So So I think anyone who's again selling a high consideration product, I think it's a great place to advertise. There's a South Africa subreddit with tens of thousands of people on it. So if you're a South African product, there's a whole bucket of people to advertise. You don't have to go to Google and be like, oh, I hope they find me, something, a proudly South African product, go and do it on a proudly South African subreddit, I think. Anyway, but that's advertising. That's not mine.
I think one other thing, just to talk lastly on the consideration part of it, is that, I think where guys miss a lot is, so you have, what you're talking about now is really content on third-party sites or third-party platforms like Reddit. You kind of duplicate that or get some ideas to actually publish that content on your own site. And the third part is really the product descriptions, where, this is where people are in heightened decision/consideration phase. They're ready to go. And I think people take shortcuts, like they just want to put like the bare minimum. Where I don't think there's ever an example where too much good quality content, hurts the conversion.
I would argue against that, hey, Mikey?
I would say
when you've got like far too big of a piece of content on your product page, and then it takes up half the page, and you can't see product, or you can't clearly see standout information, I think that's when it really does negatively affect it.
I think it's a UX problem, meaning that if it hides the important information by having too much information, yes. But You know, why not have a gazillion burger menus or little pop-up menus that will open up and give the people that do want to go deeper more information? I think the biggest confusion killer is like anxiety that will they make the wrong decision? And that often comes from lack of information. If you can give that information across in a way that's not making it difficult to get the important information, why not?
So I think we're talking about conversion now. So because when you're in the product description, you're looking at a product and you might be buying it. So at this point, in terms of the P's of positioning, the one that will tip the buyer over would be some sort of, I'm just giving an example, would be a promise. You know, a promise would make a person buy something. So let's say you're thinking of buying a pair of, you're looking at a pair of stretchy gym pants, like a Lululemon type stretchy gym pants. And I'm getting, this is inspired by my sister who said to me the other day, she said, these Lululemon, I was like, what's the big deal with Lululemon? Why does everyone like them? She was like, no, you don't understand. You have to put them on. It's like putting on butter. Okay. And then I put them on and I was like, yeah, it's like butter. It's like butter. Like, it just like feels so good. Now that's a promise. They're so comfortable. It feels like putting on butter. So, but now where's the space for this? Because the product description is all about SEO. So, but these are four words or three words. Feels like butter. Feels like wearing butter. Now you can find space for that in the middle of your description, or this is a content solve. If it's getting in the way of SEO, I think that people could be cuter or smarter with the actual pictures that they've got. You know, so you could have a picture, you've got your serious pictures of this angle and that angle, but you could have one that has an arrow to the thing and says like, feels like butter. And instantly I've got a promise where someone else didn't have a promise. So another consideration, like, should I choose this brand or that brand? This brand has promised me that these are so comfortable that they feel like butter. This brand just showed me the picture and a product description.
Got it. Makes sense. Yeah.
They're very
factual descriptions usually. You know, they're very feature-full and less benefit-full, you know?
I think this like goes back to like the lifestyle. Like if you look at the big brands like Nike or Adidas, where they're selling the, you know, what do you get by joining or wearing a pair of Nikes? You become an athlete. You just do it. You live all these philosophies that they, you know, I'm not wearing Nike, I'm wearing a lifestyle. Is it then changing the, you know, I'm buying stretchy pants rather than buying, you know, the same ones from Shein, because these ones feel like butter. These ones feel like, you know, they came from a factory or, a child's sweatshop, you know, feels like child labor, feels like butter. It's a big difference.
That's where the most buttery things come out of, you know?
What, sweatshops?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah.
I think part of that, in terms of conversion and where content and conversion meet in consideration is trying to, the most powerful trust builder in any buy is word of mouth. And I think that's when reviews and testimonials about a certain product become so powerful, because they act as your scaled sort of word of mouth. So I think that's why a lot of the time, right under product descriptions, good e-commerce sites will always try and get any sort of review or little quote about that product, positive quotes, as close underneath it as possible, so that you can see other people who enjoyed the product loads, you know. So it can be user generated content as well. It doesn't always have to be up to you, but find ways to use your user generated content or make user generated content as best as you can and get it as close to that buying decision area as possible, so that the person goes, it's a no brainer, I'm buying them. Everyone's loving them. I want them. Yeah. Which is so much more authentic than those tickers. You know, 7 people just bought this in 1 minute.
All right, cool. I think, so let's do, we're hitting 30 minutes, Ethela. I think let's do a wrap up.
Cool.
You want to do it? Should I do it?
You can go for it, Mikey.
All right. Thank you everyone for joining, and thank you to the great Hills for sharing her content copy bombs that she's mastered for longer than Seth's been alive in the hardcore industry. I think there's an amazing thing to understand for B2C stores, that we're always looking at how to get more conversions. And I think a clear thing, if you look at 100 stores, it's probably one kind of catering to the long-term play of solving for the consideration questions that users have. So I think it's a great point you raise. I think everyone's living in the bottom funnel. Some guys are living in the top of the funnel, but no one's living in the middle. And that's where I think the gap is. So thanks, yeah. Hills, for sharing.
And I think to add just one thing to that is go and look at what your, like, one of the big things I'm taking out of this conversation is go and look at what your competition in the States, or the equivalent of you in the States, or any first world country is doing, and kind of see, obviously they've spent a lot of money and time and energy to get these things right, especially in a way more competitive market. So you can take little things like little wordings or inspiration from what they've done there that's obviously working for them if it's on their website now, pull that into yours and just use that in some of your experiments, and some copy changes could result in some crazy, crazy results that would have taken you years to figure out.
Hills, finish us off with one tagline, one slogan, one quote, anything you can think of which can help people in their journey.
Let me get, you're going to have to do that again, Mikey.
Yeah, it's fine. We can pause that point, and when you...
I've got a good one, but...
You've never asked that. I'm going to ask the wordsmith for something
else. I've got lots. That's the problem. Sorry, one second. I'm trying to track down my one. Where is it?
This is going to be a monster. Eh? This is going to be a bomb of bombs. The quote of the century. It's loading.
This is, you should have asked me this hours ago. What do you think the audience would want the most?
Give us
a few. We'll choose one in post.
All right, fine. All right. Do you want to do, I don't know. Okay. Do you want to do it again, Mark? Sorry.
Is that easier for you, Cedra, or do you want to just copy the cut the middle?
Well, we could just copy and just
slide. Okay. Let's do it again. You can decide.
Okay.
Kills. Okay. Lisa. Okay. Okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. Acute and quirky, like a final. It's a lot of pressure. I'll say what the mantra that we have at Shelf, which is marketing is difficult and simple, and content marketing is about writing the right message at the right time for the right person in the right place. Just tick those things. Sounds simple, sure. And it's both simple and it's not. But that is what drives Shelf. If you do that, you'll get it right. Or in terms of B2B, I don't know, one of the things is always...
I like that one. That's cool.
Yeah. I also like one.
That's what our mission... That's our mission.
I'm going to use that as our mission also. It sounds cool.
All right, great. Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. That was so much fun.
No, thank you so much.
That was wonderful. Thank you. And I think you guys are amazing.